wonder if something like to talk some more so with the second half and does that. I want to encourage everybody tonight. Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." And if there's one thing I've learned in the course of being a pastor, in the course of being a someone in the house of God, when it comes down to really solving the situations that are in churches, big or small, or whatever, the answer is in the Word of God.
Amen.
It doesn't matter. If somebody's sad, give them the Word of God. If somebody's hurt, give them the Word of God. It doesn't matter what the situation is. Resolve issues in the house of God. The unity in anybody's church anywhere has to be the Word of God. If we take it upon ourselves to pinpoint and try to address matters and do all these things, we're not capable of fixing those things. All we do is we become like, if you want to see the difference between people who resolve issues by growing in God versus people who don't, that's how you have causes. You have mothers against drunk drivers. You have this cause. You have that cause. You have a lot of causes. You have people who meet every year who've lost children. You have all that because the issues remain unresolved.
Right? Mm-hmm.
So they come together and they say, "Well, I find healing because I'm well." Okay, that's better than nothing. But if you really want an issue resolved, especially in the house of God, I've learned this during this, especially when people are really going through, give them the Word of God. And that's why the devil doesn't like for people to get the Word of God, because he likes for them to always be distracted and always torn up and all that. So he keeps people running around. But I want to look at chapter 9 tonight. It's the resurrection and ascension. And if you have a book, then you can read with me. If not, it's on the screen. I might have gone through this chapter before around Easter time. I'm not sure. And again, the reason why I read this out of Bishop Bruin's book is it's not information that we don't already know for the most part, especially this part right here. But not always do we put it in the context of being. Not always do we put it in the context of seeing how it fits into God's overall scheme of things beyond just setting us free from sin. I want to look at, I'm going to start in one, and I'm going to read pretty straightforward. All the heavenly host has witnessed the victory of Christ on the cross. They saw that the sins of the entire world were heaped upon him, and that he became the sacrificial lamb for all mankind. Now, when you read in Isaiah 53rd chapter, you read about this, and you talk about him being made sin for sin. And also, you need to remember, too, when you read in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter and 21st verse, when it says, he was made to be sin for us who knew no sin. This is something that we need to know, and I'm finding out more and more, as I teach more and more, of how many people are familiar with the Word of God but have never really taken the time, and I'll use this word, to process it and believe it.
Yes.
So that it becomes life to them. And so, well, how do you know whether or not the Word of God has become life to you or not? When you go through a trial. How you go through a trial determines whether or not the Word of God is actually life to you, or if it's just something that you have heard. Do you remember when things become very difficult that God has everything under control?
Yes.
Does it resound with you that God knows how to work everything out? When you're really going through, and until it rains, it never occurs to you that you don't have an umbrella.
Yes.
It's only after you need it. So when difficult times come, that's when you find out how much you're able to hold on to God. Oh, you can preach joy, 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 joy forever. And until time comes for the Lord to be, he's the joy of my salvation. Yes, he is. He's the joy of my salvation. Yes, he is. You can sing that forever. Until you get down to it when you really need him to be your joy.
Yes.
Then you find out how much he is. But the reality is, if you will allow him to be, he will be your joy. So when we read this about Christ's victory on the cross of Calvary tonight, There's a scripture that everybody has their Bibles. I want you to turn to real quick, and it's in Romans. And it fits in with this. And I want you to read the scripture that says, we are more than conquerors.
Right.
We are more than conquerors. This is in Romans 8 or 9 or one of those. For thy sake, we're slain all day long, but we are more than conquerors.
Yeah.
Everybody see what that scripture is? And whoever finds it first, tell me where it is. Romans 8:37, and what does it say?
Nay, in all these things,
we
are more than conquerors through him that loved us.
Read the verse before.
As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long.
Mm-hmm.
We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us.
And the way they look at us and the way things come, it's like we're being persecuted. We're going through all this all the time. But he's saying, no, not really. He says, no. And when he says we're more than conquerors, it isn't an issue, Minister Smith, of saying that we're more than conquerors from the point of view. And people like to say, I'm more than a conqueror, more than a conqueror. You know why I'm more than a conqueror? Because we're occupying.
Yes.
We're not just someone who are defeating the enemy. We are occupying.
Yes.
After World War II, they didn't just win the war. Damascus, you can sit on either side of the table. It doesn't matter. It's not sacred. Just make sure you can see the screen. If you can't see the screen from there, then you probably need to sit someplace else, because we're reading all this. You are. We're not just conquerors. We come to occupy. Israel didn't just conquer the land of Canaan. They became the inhabitants of the land of Canaan. So then, in God, we're not people who are just conquering. We're more than conquerors. We occupy. So he says, all heaven is host, in verse 1, to the witness of the victory of Christ on the cross. And I want everybody to understand, this is why the sky gets dark and the earth trembles and all these things happen. He is destroying the power of sin. They saw the sins of the entire world were heaped upon him, and he became the sacrificial lamb for all mankind. Satan is devastated. He has but one more card to play. I will not allow Jesus to be resurrected from the dead. Death, you must hold him. But death cannot hold one who has never sinned. I'm reading off the screen. If you don't have your book in front of you, I'm reading off the screen, because I know you guys have this book, because I've given them to you, right? Yeah. But death cannot hold one who has never sinned. You see, because the wages of sin is death. In other words, you work, you know, you get paid for being in sin. You know what it is? Death. You earn death. Death means separation from God.
Yes.
So, after three full days and three full nights, after all the legalities of redemption had been fully paid, the Elohim's other two members, the Father and the Holy Ghost, resurrected him. Who's the other member? The Father, the Holy Ghost, and who's the other member of Elohim? Jesus is the Word. They resurrect him from the dead. When you read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in the first couple of verses, you see that Paul reminds them how Jesus died according to the Scriptures. He has to do all the legalities. Remember this about God, because you want this to be so. You always want it to be so. You don't want anybody to show God in any light that God isn't always fair and just.
Yes.
You don't want to deal with people who are not fair and just. Because I don't care what their title is. I don't care what they profess. People who are not honest and above board and fair and just are ungodly.
Yes.
Because God is a just God.
Yes.
My eternity depends on God being fair and just. God doesn't even cut corners, even with Satan. So when Satan kills and when Satan has them destroy an innocent person, then death is not warranted for him, because he does not deserve death, because Jesus was not born in sin, neither does Jesus do any sin.
Right.
Therefore, Jesus can say for someone born in sin like me, I will take death for you.
Yes.
Because he isn't owed death. himself. He becomes the sacrifice for sin. And then God, in his great power, is able not only to give one person freedom from sin through Christ's death, but everyone who will believe in Jesus Christ and receive him can go free from sin by the work that Christ has done on the cross of Calvary, because God needs us. So after 3 full days and 3 full nights, all of the legalities and redemption has been fully paid. The Elohim's two other members, the Father, the Holy Ghost, I like the way he says that, resurrect him from the dead, because this is what we have to know in order to be saved. But, and this is from the scripture, but now as things really are, as a matter of fact, this is out of 2 Corinthians, if you want to read it, 2 Corinthians is the 5th chapter. It says, Christ has been evidently set free from sin. But now as things really are, this is written in a New Living Translation, Christ has in fact been raised from the dead. And he became the first fruits, that is, the first to be resurrected with an incorruptible, immortal body, foreshadowing the resurrection of those who have fallen asleep in death. For since it was by man that death came into the world, it is also by man, that the resurrection of the dead has come. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 20 through 21, Amplified. Now, for the sake of anybody who's listening and reading King James, go to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, and read it in the King James Version. But this is what it means. And when someone has it, let me grab my Bible so I can read along with you.
What verse? 15.
1 Corinthians 15, verse 20, I think it is. Verse 20. And it says, but now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. In other words, everybody who died believing in Christ. Someone said one time they made the statement that they didn't think that Moses had gone into paradise, that God had carried him on to heaven. And I couldn't believe they said that, because no one can be resurrected into an immortal body to Jesus.
Yes, that's right.
He has to be the very first one who does that.
Yes.
I said, I can't go with you on that. But since by man came death, referring to what man? Adam. By man came also the resurrection of the dead, referring to Jesus. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. So this is what's quoted here. Down in the next paragraph. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is what we're back to now in our Age of Ages. Waiting for Elder Minister Smith to get it back up. The resurrection of Jesus Christ not only meant that the penalty for sin had been legally paid, but it also meant that God would have an immortal man to rule the world. It also meant that God would have an immortal man to rule the world. Jesus is the first human to possess an immortal body, one that would never die. Not since before the fall of Adam had humanity ruled over death, but now every human being, man or woman, who repents and accepts the Lord Jesus will never die. All of us who have Christ have eternal life. We live forever. This is really, you know, you heard the song, you'll be old enough, and most of you are not, James. They had this song, The Big Payback. This is the big payoff. I saw a t-shirt that somebody talked about. They said that, I can't remember how it went, but it said, talking about Jesus, it has a wonderful or great retirement plan.
Yeah.
Absolutely. This is the big playoff. I like the sentence that he puts up here that he says that the resurrection of Jesus Christ not only meant that the penalty of sin had been legally paid, but also meant that God would have an immortal man to rule the world. Now, we get back to the point where we're supposed to rule and reign with him.
Yeah.
And this kind of bothers me a little bit in this day and time, because I feel like we're somewhat, as an organization, we're in the 19th century someplace. Because most scholars and churches that read their Bibles regularly and go ahead and teach Christian education, do those things, they already know that we do more in eternity than just shout down golden streets and run to the throne every day and bow before God.
Yeah.
That's not what our job is. Our job is ruling and reigning with him. The Bible says if we suffer with him, we shall also reign
with him.
And to reign with him means we're going to be over things and we're going to help him. First thing we're going to do, our practice run is going to be in the millennium. When we come back with him after the tribulation, after those 7 years in heaven, We're going to come back and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. For we should be priests of Christ and of God and reign with him for 1,000 years in the earth. This is a practice run. We come back and we preach to all the people. Because remember now, and I'll get to it later on in the book, but I'll say this because it's on my mind. Remember now, when we go to heaven in the rapture, and we go with him in the rapture, and we're there for 7 years during the tribulation, even at the end of the tribulation, when Christ comes in the second advent, all the earth hasn't been destroyed. Mm-hmm. Sinful man is still here.
Yes.
And so he locks the devil up, as it says in Revelation, the 19th chapter. For the first time, Satan is locked away. He's not locked away now.
No.
I wish he was, but he is.
He is. Yeah.
He's running to and fro through the earth, as it says in Job, seeking who he can devour. Mm-hmm. Or as Peter says, the devil is a roaring, your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, running to and fro, seeking who he can destroy and what he can do. So anyone who says, well, he's locked up already, then who is tempting Jesus in the wilderness?
Yes.
You know, and the Bible is very clear, King James Version, any version you want. Jesus specifically addresses him as Satan. And there's only one person in the Bible that's ever addressed as Satan, and that's the one who's the angel Lucifer.
Yes.
Now, many times when the Bible talks about devils, it's talking about demons.
Yes.
And sometimes Lucifer is referred to as the devil.
Yes.
But when Jesus addresses him, he addresses him specifically as Satan by name, mm-hmm. because that's what his name became. It's just like in Zechariah. In Zechariah, when Zechariah is prophesying to Joshua, the high priest, he says, I saw the Lord standing before him, and I saw Satan standing before him to resist him. And the Lord said, Satan, the Lord rebuke you.
Yeah.
I was talking to Chandra just before everybody came in. And I was saying, something we need to realize about hell. You need to keep this, you need to remember something. Hell does not have a revolving door.
No.
People don't come and go in hell anytime they want.
No.
People talk about that's a demon straight out of hell. No, it's a demon who's been wandering in the earth ever since pre-Adamite man.
Yeah.
Once you're in hell, you are there.
Yeah.
Even the people who love God were in hell until Jesus went down and brought them out.
That's right.
They were held captive against their will. So you don't have, you know, the devil doesn't just leave hell when he wants, or he dispatches angels from hell. There are fallen angels who still roam the planet.
Yes.
The fallen angels that are held captive in Tartarus are the angels that slept with the daughters of men. They had a particularly heinous crime in trying to destroy the bloodline, and this is where the giants came from, like Goliath and all those of Nephilim and all those people.
Yes.
And God locked them away so they would not continue to do that, because if they were locked away, they'd be trying to do it now.
Yes.
That's their pedigree.
Yeah.
But only those are the particular ones that he locked away in Tartarus. The rest of, there are many fallen angels. You know, the Bible mentions one. His name is Abaddon. They still float around. People don't go in and out of hell. Some people, and then there are people who think the devil's in charge of hell. He's not that either.
No.
You read too much Milton. Milton thought that, but that ain't God.
Yes.
Hell's created for Satan and his angels, and that's where they're all going to be. Now let me get back to this. Not since before the fall of Adam did humanity rule over death, but now every human being, man or woman, who repents and accepts the Lord Jesus will never die. You need to know that too. We're not like Jehovah's Witnesses that go into sleep so that when they die, there's nothing until the resurrection. Our spirit and soul always continue to live. It never dies. It is eternal. Your spirit and soul is eternal now. That's why you need to be so concerned about where it goes when you do die. You don't go free at death. Animals, the soul of animals go into the ground, but not people. So he says in this, we will receive a God-like, glorified, immortal body just like Christ. And this is from John 3:2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he, Jesus, shall appear, we shall be like him, for we will see him as he is. This means that when we see Jesus, should you see Jesus, and everybody here should want to see Jesus. Anybody want to see Jesus?
Yeah,
I do.
I do.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Without reservation.
I do.
Everybody should want to see Jesus.
Yeah.
There is not the most nano microscopic molecular problem that you have that will not be over when you see Jesus.
Amen.
Either all your problems will be over or your problems will just begin.
Wow.
One or the other. Now you make up your mind. You have to decide yourself. This is why we're supposed to comfort one another with the Lord is coming back. When somebody you love dies, especially if they're saved, and this is why you can say to them, well, this is difficult. David even said it about his son who died. He said, he can't come to me, but I can still go to him. I can go to where he is. I just have to live right and I can get to where he is. No matter what happens in the earth, one thing we do know, at some point in time, it is going to be over. It doesn't matter how bad the U.S. gets. It doesn't matter how bad the economy gets. It doesn't matter what goes on in your life. I would pray that we all stay healthy. We want to be healthy. We want to be as comfortable as we can while we're waiting on the Lord. And God is merciful. That's why he heals. That's why he delivers. That's why we're praying. We're praying for Sister Karen White's mother-in-law today. She came through surgery. I got a text that she was doing fine. I think Ella Smith got it too. That's good. And keep Ella Rogers' mother, India's grandmother, in prayer tonight because Ella Rogers is going over to see her because she's going through. So, Lord, please touch Ella Rogers' mother. We want the Lord to heal us and deliver us. But we know that these bodies are only temporary. We're going to need, they're not going to live forever.
Yes.
And each one of us, when we have the right mind about Christ, even in sickness and disease that none of us want, nobody wants cancer.
No.
Absolutely not. It's like a death knell. It's an evil, evil, evil. And if anything should make you hate Satan, it should be cancer.
Yes.
It really should be. You should hate the devil a whole lot because of it. You should just, because he brought all that in. We're not supposed to be cancerous. That's not how God created us. It came as a result of sin. But even when you see all those, the bottom line is, if you will have Christ, you will say, though this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, I'm going to have another one.
Yes.
And I'm going to be, at some point, I'm going to be all right. I was listening to Erica Campbell the other day, and she was talking about her father who died, and she said that she was devastated because he had cancer, and she said they were all praying, because all of them came out of Church of God in Christ, and she said they were praying for him to be healed, and she says, well, he was healed, just not the way we wanted.
Right. Yes, that's right.
And I like the way she put that.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening to Billy Graham's daughter, who made the statement when Billy Graham died. She said, he's not dead, he's alive. He just moved.
Yes, yeah.
He's in another place. This is the attitude we're supposed to have.
Amen.
Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And Chandra's the grammarian and Dee Dee's here, and I love having you. This particular, you can use now, and I don't know which now you want to use. If you want to use now as saying it concerns time, and at this particular time we're the sons of God, then fine, that works for me. If you want to use now as a conjunction or as an exclamation and say, now, listen, this is what I'm trying to tell you. We are the sons of God.
Yes.
If you want to use it like that, I'm fine with that too.
Yes.
But he makes the point, and I kind of think he's referring to time in this case.
Yes.
We are the sons of God now.
Now, yes.
And although we're not in the bodies we expect to be in, listen, everybody, make up your mind. You're not going to live forever in this mortal body. And the greatest promise that God gives us is having everlasting life and having an immortal body. This is how the saints of God get through things. This is how Job is able to say, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. It doesn't make sense if Job doesn't realize that he has eternal life to say, even if he kills me, I'm going to serve him. How smart is that? How can that be unless he understands that if this body dies, I will continue to live?
Yes.
Yes. How can David say, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever?
Forever. Yes.
How can how can Abraham consider Isaac as receiving him in the resurrection if he doesn't know what the resurrection
is? Yes.
So then when John writes this, he says, although right now, as Paul writes in another place and is also quoted in here, he says, right now, you don't feel like with all these sinuses and diseases and allergies and bodily ailments. You don't seem like your body doesn't seem like you ain't got the one that's gonna live forever. He says, and it doesn't appear what we shall be. We're not there yet. But we know that when we see Jesus, whether we have died and see him or whether we live and see him, we know that that time we will be changed. When we will, but that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, but we will see him as he is, and he is glorified. And the writer, Bishop Bruno, says, thank you, Lord, for providing us with the God body we will need to fulfill your awesome plan for us. We can't carry on God's plan in this body. It's sin has ravaged it too much. One of the most difficult things we have, really, the most difficult parts we have, and we do, more than we realize, we work with Satan like the serpent.
Yes.
We allow him to hinder us in being in God. We listen to him a lot. He does everything. He doesn't mind how much we dance. The devil doesn't care if you dance all night.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. I've been in this church for a very long time. I've seen people dance, and after the dance is over, get up and testify how all their burdens will roll away until next week. More than once, haven't we?
Yes, sir.
Yep.
He don't care if you dance all night. He don't care if a preacher comes in and preaches you up, because if you got a good fiery preacher, you'll enjoy the sermon, and rightly so.
Yep.
But he is concerned that you find out that in Christ all your burdens will be rolled away. Right. He's concerned about that.
Yes.
Because he loves keeping you hurt, discouraged, distracted, sad.
Yes.
Frustrated. He loves hearing you keep saying, why God?
Yes.
The devil likes to hear you question God.
Yes.
And he likes to hear you get up and pretend that you're all right when you're not.
Yes.
He's waiting for you to get somewhere and someone needs to say to you, you need to go tell God the truth. Lord, I'm having a hard time.
Yes.
And you need to pray David's prayer. And I read it the other day because I read it to me. And David wrote it, I can't think it's the 27th Psalm or wherever it is. And David says the prayer. He says, my enemy is too strong for me.
Yes.
And I need you to help me. The enemy that that David's referring to is, for him, it's the Philippians. But for David, it's all the people who are coming against him from the time. You know, David didn't just, it wasn't no cakewalk when David fell with Bathsheba. A lot of people got upset about that. And they had a hard time, and one of them was Absalom, his son, and mm-hmm. among all the other people who were fighting Israel, David had that going on too. And many of them, even, when David had really repented and was all right with God, they were still coming, and David told God in one place, he said, my enemies are too strong for me. He says, they're still trying to destroy me. He said, I need you to help me overcome my enemy who's too strong for me. What is our enemy for today? Anything that you just can't seem to cope with.
Yes.
You can't come to terms with it. You can't. You're trying to press through it. And I've had it on more than one occasion. It wasn't just because of anything in particular.
Yeah.
But I'm so glad I finally learned that. There are times when the Lord allows you to go through trials that He knows you're not going to be able to press through.
Yes.
And he waits for you to come to him and say, Lord, I need you to bring me through this.
Yes.
This hurt is not going away. I need help.
Yes.
This
yes.
frustration isn't going away. I need help.
Help.
And
yes.
I don't need help from a 12-step program. I need the Holy Ghost to come in with the power of the Holy Spirit and deliver me.
Yes.
It's called deliverance.
Yes.
That's what you get from God.
God, yes.
You know, it's there's so much about the Word of God. Let me go back to this so I can finish this up tonight. I only got 60 minutes. I was planning on going through two chapters, but I'm not going to make it. Thank you, Lord, for providing us with God, with a God body we will need to fulfill your awesome plan for us, because God has a plan for us. Remember in Hebrews, we're still the people, we're still the beings that are supposed to rule the moon, the stars, and the heavens, and over every other creation, every
yes.
other creature. We're supposed to do that.
Yes.
Does everybody remember that?
Yes.
You remember that, Damascus?
Yes.
Yes. God hasn't changed his mind about that. He has to get us in a position where we can. Right now, you know what we are? God, we have been so duped, haven't we? I'll tell you what we are. God, please forgive me. When Adam fell, you know, we became the biggest fools in the universe.
Mm-hmm.
What a
mess.
We were worse than P.T. Barnum had done something to us, you know. The devil just really, but it is one thing for someone to fool you. It's another thing to let them keep on doing that.
Yes.
And if you don't, if you're not where you're growing in the Word of God, faith comes by
hearing.
And that by the Word of God. It does not come because, you know, you don't grow in faith because you love my spirited message.
Yes.
It has to be the Word of God. And it has to be refreshed and renewed. And Jesus, after fulfilling Elohim's prophecy, what is Elohim, Brother Negley?
It's the Holy Spirit. Jesus and God.
Yes, very good. Elohim's prophecy in the Garden of Eden. What's the prophecy in the Garden of Eden, Ellen Smith?
If Jesus would crush the head of the
seed of the woman would
crush the head of the serpent.
Seed of the serpent, yes. In the Garden, by totally defeating Satan, now goes back to the planet Heaven where he ruled from initially. When Jesus is resurrected from the dead, where does he go? Where he was, as John says, in the beginning was the Word, referring to Jesus, and the Word was with God, where he ruled from initially. But this time, he is not alone. All the believers who died in faith, remember, whose mortal bodies the grave claimed that were forced to go into the underworld located in the sin earth, were liberated by him. He leads everybody from Abel all the way through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, you know, Zephaniah, Nehemiah, Moses, Miriam, Aaron, Joshua, Eleazar, you name it, Hezekiah. Jesus leads all of them back.
Yes.
All those go back to heaven with Jesus. He goes back to heaven. He comes down, but when he goes back to heaven, he doesn't go back by himself. He takes all of them with him.
Yes.
Right? Therefore, it says when he ascended on high, this is in Ephesians, he led captivity captive. Why captivity captive, Sister Arnold? Why, Sister Negley, I'm sorry, forgive me. Why captivity captive? Because remember, what about hell? No one comes in. That's right. They're held captive until God brings them out. Even when Moses comes up to see Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, it's because God brings him up. He leads captivity captive and bestows gifts on men. And the gifts that he leaves are the pastors, teachers, pastors, evangelists, prophets. I'm a pastor and a teacher. I walk in my gift. I don't worry about other people and being apostles and all that. I don't claim to be any of those. But I know I have an anointing to teach. And that's one thing I know about. Now, this expression, he ascended. What does that mean except that he also descended? And I used to wouldn't say that, but I say it now because it is true. I used to wouldn't say that I had the gift, that he'd give me the gift to be a teacher and a pastor, but I know that to be absolutely true.
Amen.
Now this expression, he ascended, does it mean except that he also descended from the heights of the heavens into the lower parts of the earth? He who also descended is the very same as he who also ascended high above all the heavens, that he might fill all things, that is the whole universe. Now this he writes strictly out of King James Version. It simply says, Jesus is the same one that descended into the lower parts of earth or went into the compartment of hell, took all the saints that were held captive against their will, as it says in Hebrews 2:14-15, and led them back to heaven. He had to be resurrected first, then he takes them. He doesn't even take them on the first day. He goes to heaven when he sees Mary. He goes himself. He returns. He leads captivity after his resurrection. Then you see them go through the city. Mm-hmm. But if it's me, I don't worry about that. Just as long as I go. Mm-hmm. I think initially, and you can say, well, it doesn't say that viciously. I think he took them all when he first went. That's fine by me. But I suspect that the first thing he did was took the blood. This is why he tells Mary not to delay him. He says, I have something to do. But I'll be back. If we examine what this verse tells us about Christ, we see that not only did he go to hell, But he brought all who were believing in his redemption out of hell and took them to heaven alive. Don't miss the last part. He might fill all things, that is the whole universe, that he might fill all things. In other words, this is not just the plan of us being saved for the sake of going to heaven, but he might fulfill God's plan in the whole universe. Something we don't talk a lot about. Now, because death has been defeated for the children of God, Christ can place them as immortal beings over his works in the heavens. Remember, that's what we're supposed to be. I need you to turn to Hebrews, the second chapter, very quick. Now no child of God will ever have to die again, Jesus promised. I think it's Hebrews, the second chapter. And found in the part where it says, what is man that thou hast thou this him? It's in Hebrews chapter 2 or chapter 1, one or the other.
2 and 6.
2 and 6. And what does it say?
But one testifieth in a certain place, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou take care of him? You made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor, and set him over thy works of your hands. You have put all things subject under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him.
But now we see not all things yet put under him. You notice he says in this, for in that he put all things in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But right now, we don't see that.
Yes.
Hasn't happened yet.
Hasn't happened
yet. Now, let's not, you know, let's let the Bible be consistent. When it refers to this in Psalm 8, when it talks about the moon and stars and all those, which is where Paul gets this from when David first prophesied it. Remember, we're supposed to be over all things.
Yes.
He's restoring us to the point where we can do that. It's like I said, there's so much more to us in eternity than just, you know, I think we're going to shout down Hallelujah Boulevard, and we certainly are going to worship at the throne, but we have something else to do. God has a job for us, that he might fill all things. Now because death has been defeated for the children of God, okay, I'm on time. Christ can place them as immortal beings over his works in the heavens. Now no child of God will ever have to die again. Jesus promised, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And I ask you the same question. Do you believe that?
Yes.
That's something you absolutely must believe. We need to plan on it. The old people when I was growing up used to say, I'm living to live again.
Yes.
Jesus has rescued mankind from the god of this world's administration of sin, death, and the grave, death, the grave, and hell. Giving thanks to God who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints, God's people in light. For he has rescued us and has drawn us to himself from the dominion of darkness and has transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved son. This is Colossians 1:12-13. Let's look at that. Turn to that real quick. Now, anyone who can repent, and on this one, I'll add a word to his book. Anyone who will repent. Mm-hmm. Anyone who will repent. Because every one of us can repent.
Yes.
Whether you will or not is up to you, but everyone can repent. Whether you're willing to repent or not is one thing. We can repent. It's Colossians, let's see. Colossians what?
12:1-13.
Yeah, look at that. And it says 1 and 12. Giving thanks unto the Father which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Or is it, I just read in the Amplified. Let me read it in another one. In New Living Translation, what does it say? Always thanking the Father, he has enabled you to share an inheritance that belongs to his people who live in light. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son. That's exactly what he's done. Who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. We'll look at it in the New King James. And he says in this 12, giving thanks unto the Father which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light. Remember the word meet in this, and we use this word in King James, in New King James. When the word meet comes along, when it says who's made us meet, it means made us fit,
yes.
Qualified us, fixed us so that we could have a part of it. When it says has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, that means he made us fit to be partakers with the saints of God who are in the light, not in darkness.
Yes.
Remember, we're the light of the world. And he did that by, one, breaking sin's power over us on his death, burial, and resurrection, and, two, washing us with providing the blood of Jesus Christ so that we would have forgiveness for our sins, and therefore our sins would be blotted out. And, three, by quickening our spirit and giving us his Holy Spirit.
Yes.
It took all three of those in order for us to be able to be someone who's in Christ. Remember, when you go through anything, if you're saved, my God, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. So, Bishop Smith, you ain't never been through nothing. My mother died when I was 16. My father went to jail the week before. Come on, y'all.
Yes.
And then you meet a mother, you know, natural mother who doesn't want to have anything to do with you. Give me a break.
Yes.
Just because you're not always breaking down crying doesn't mean you haven't been hurt.
Yes.
Matter of fact, a lot of times when people break down and cry all the time, that's because they want anybody to cry with them. Not
yeah.
always, but sometimes. And that's okay too, because we're supposed to weep with those who weep.
Yes.
But the point of it is we have in us, we not only set us free from sin so that we could have a life, but he also forgives us of our sins, and then he does the real big one. He gives us the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
We have the power of the Holy Spirit working in us.
Yes.
And he's an advocate. He's our paraclete. He's
yes.
there to help.
Yes.
How, if I have Christ as another comforter, then for me to comfort you, I only need to remind you that you have the Holy Ghost for a comforter.
Yes.
Your comfort comes from him, because he's the only person in the earth today who can say to me, you will be all right, and be able to make everything be all
right,
no matter what the situation is. Maybe tonight you might have, I was thinking about the other day, I said, Lord, I feel like I am at the Red Sea.
Yes.
And I can't go left, I can't go right, I can't go through, I can't go back. And Lord, I really, 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 really need you to part my Red Sea.
Yes.
I need a miracle.
Yes.
I need God to work out some things that I don't know, that there's not a person I know on earth who knows how to work them out.
Yes.
This is how much I trust God.
Mm-hmm.
And I expect God to do it.
Amen.
There's not a person I know on earth who has a solution for some of the things that I am going through at this particular time.
Yes.
No one I know. Only God. And I expect that God is able, if God can part the Red Sea,
yes.
cause the walls of Jericho to fall,
yes.
greater than that, if God can resurrect Jesus Christ from the dead, which he did,
yes.
then surely
yes.
there is an answer for what I'm going through,
yes.
and it's God that I'm depending on.
Yes.
Because although maybe if I told everybody what I'm going through, someone might be trying to help. Say, well, have you tried this? Have you tried this? Try all those. I need the Lord to move.
Yes.
Need an answer from God. But so why aren't you crying in your soup? Because I'm expecting God to help. And so do you ever get frustrated about it? I do, but it doesn't last long because God comes and reminds me, but I'm still in control. And I keep
right.
looking.
Yes.
I'm like, who in here has ever read the part of the Hebrews where it says Abraham looked for a city who's with foundations, whose builder and maker is God?
God, yes.
You've read that?
Yes.
He kept looking for eternal,
yes.
for the eternal city.
Yes.
He wasn't looking for it in the earth.
Yes.
He wasn't going from desert place like I heard
yes.
somebody say, looking for God's
yes.
city. He
yes.
knew God's city wasn't on earth.
Right.
Because he saw God come down and go up. But when it says he was looking for a city with foundations, in other words, he was depending on going to a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker was
God.
Yes. He was a sojourner in the earth because he was convinced that he was not going to be here forever. This is why Paul says we look, our citizenship is in heaven, from heaven, from where we, from whence we look for the Savior, who shall change these vile bodies and all that goes along with them, including this vile mind and everything else goes along with it. This is why we're supposed to have, this is why we're supposed to rejoice in the Lord.
Yes.
Rejoice, I say, in the Lord. This is why we're supposed to wait on the Lord and be of good courage. I think Sean was looking at something in that the other day that it says, and I think it's in Isaiah, or it's David says it. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. We're not always waiting on the Lord. We're waiting on somebody to come.
Yes.
They don't have any more comfort for us than they do themselves. If you looked at their life, you'd find out their lives ain't perfect either.
Yes.
My God, if you can't pray yourself out of situations, you know. Let me finish this so we go home. Is it 8 o'clock? It is 8 o'clock. Now anyone in this last paragraph who can repent or who will repent can be included in this glorious inheritance and leave this present dominion of darkness. Jesus has done what Elohim has determined back in the garden. And he keeps using the word Elohim because he keeps using this because he keeps referring to everything that is done by God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
It's always a combined effort that's being, you know, that they're doing. They work this in harmony. They do this in harmony. Jesus has done what Elohim had determined back in the garden when mankind fell. He has risen and completed the work of redemption. 7,000 years. Over a period of 7,000 years. From the time of the fall in the garden to the time that Jesus Christ is resurrected from the dead, about 7,000 years. It's a good 1,800 to 2,000 years from the time Isaiah prophesies in Isaiah 53 to the time Jesus Christ comes. It's another 2,000 years, 1,800 years between him and Abraham. It's by the time we get to this point, it has been a very long time. And Christ himself, since this time, Christ was born over 2,000 years ago. His cross, his death and resurrection on the cross of Calvary is almost at the 2,000-year point. Because he dies 33 years later and is resurrected 33 years later. Most of the word of God that is written in the New Testament is written in the next 30, 40 years after Christ has been resurrected. Christ is resurrected in AD about 33, 34, as you reckon it, whatever. And the writers start writing in the 50s, in the 60s, because unto them they're going places and preaching, and it's at that time when the Spirit says it needs to be written down. And that's when Luke starts writing and John starts writing all of them for us. So if God is in no hurry. It takes time.
Yeah.
Why is God taking time to do this? It is a probationary period, like we said when we first started reading this book. It is a probationary period that starts from the time that Lucifer fell. You have no idea. We have no idea. We're going to be astounded. I'm looking forward to knowing, because I'll know when I see Jesus. You don't know how many millions of years the rebellion in heaven took place. From the time that Lucifer first invented the lie and sinned, and he found out the people on the earth would believe him, uncounted millions of years to the time that he gets all heaven, you know, a third of heaven to fall. And God, you know, when we look at our probationary period among men, God allows this to go on. Why does he allow this to go on? Why doesn't he cut it short? Because he allows it to go on to every being in heaven has made up their mind who they're going to serve. And all those who are going to serve Satan, he cast out. Mm-hmm. Which means that every angel that he retains has their mind made up to serve God.
Mm-hmm.
He does the same, and since that time frame, God decides, I need some. He decides he's going to create his highest being, and his highest being is not going to be angels, it's us.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a process. You know how we say trust the process? Well, trust the process. We were talking earlier, Minister Smith and I, about people doing the name it, claim it thing. You're naming it and claiming it. You're not trusting the process. You need to decide that God will answer your prayer. Then you need to get on your knees and give God some
yes.
prayers. And then you need to trust God to do what God says He will do. And then you need, how can they hear without a preacher? Then you need a preacher who brings you the Word of God and doesn't just keep regurgitating and repeating the feel goods. Because you're not feeling good right now. You need someone to take you over to Psalms like we were doing the other night and show you that all David's Psalms, David is not feeling good when he writes all of them. Some of them he's very angry.
Yes.
And some of them he's angry with God.
Yes.
And you need to know that God doesn't strike you down with lightning because He understands our frame. And He understands and He's waiting for us to say, well, I'm frustrated. Just like with our kids. Your kids should not be afraid to say to you, you know, I'm really discouraged. I'm really frustrated.
Yes.
You ain't got no reason to be frustrated. Yes, they do.
Yes, they do.
In their own age, wherever they are.
Life is hard.
There's always something because they're human that frustrates them. Why do you think babies cry?
Yes.
Because they have a need that they cannot otherwise express.
Yes.
And if you're not a good parent, you throw them in a room someplace and that's how they get to be abused because you haven't figured out there's something going on here.
Yes.
And to say to a child in any form, you ain't got no reason to be discouraged. You ain't got no reason to be frustrated. Yes, they do. They have a reason to be frustrated. Because they're in the earth.
Yes.
Well, God understands that. And when people are too deep and too spiritual to say, Lord, I'm really hurt. And I'm hurt. I ain't supposed to be hurting, so I'm not going to admit I'm hurt. Like God doesn't already know.
No. Yes.
And especially when you're disappointed with yourself. Like God doesn't already know you're disappointed with yourself.
Yes.
Lord, I'm really disappointed with me. I told God many times, Lord, I feel like I'm the most despicable person who ever walks the earth. Mm-hmm. And the Lord said, well, yeah, at the moment you are. You know, He is honest. Yeah. He says, but you can fix it. He says, well, we can fix it. Not you. We can fix that.
We can fix it, yes.
You know, you can jump in. We can fix that. Number one, you need to clean up your mess.
Yes.
That's number one. And then you need to make up your mind that you're not going to recreate the same mess that you're in.
Yes.
That's called repentance.
Yes.
You're going to fix what's broken. You're going to let me fix what's broken. And then you're at least going to try with all your heart not to break it again. Because there's some things we repent of and we do again. Mm-hmm. But hopefully they're not the thing. There are some things that are so great, you ain't supposed to do them no more. No, you're not. Okay, I'm gonna stop there for tonight. Thanks to everyone who's tuning in. It's good to see India tonight. India, how's your grandmother? Have you heard from your mother?
No, sir, not yet.
Okay, well, we're praying for her. Elder Jenkins, we're praying for you tonight. I was thinking about you today, and at some point in time, in the not-too-distant future, I'm going to try and get us to Columbia. I don't know when it will be, but the Lord laid it on my heart today. I need to come see how you are, so I'm going to get up there. I don't know how soon it will be, but I'm coming at some point in time. I will come to see you. I thank God for everybody tonight, and I pray the Lord will bless you. It's good to see my friend down there and my cousin that I grew up together with. So good to see Fletcher tonight. Praise God for you. Elder Latham, of course, always, and Elder Harrison's up tonight. So we're just going to pray tonight. We're praying for India. You see down her grandmother tonight. Elder Rogers was with her tonight. That's why she's not there, because her mother fell ill just as she was just coming, and we're praying for her. We're praying for Ella, Sister Jenkins in the corner, always keeping her in our hearts and in our minds. And for everybody else who needs prayer in any way, many of us have met. I'm glad Elder Reed is doing better today because she's been kind of on the sick list, and me too. But everybody, everywhere, if you have any malady or whatever, Brother Negley's doing better tonight. I think he came over and infected all the rest of us. Then he went home and got well. But we're all doing okay today, and we thank God for it. Any healing, however you get it, comes from God.
Amen. Yeah.
I heard people say Satan will put some on you, Satan takes something off. Satan doesn't take off sickness. When he puts it on you, he leaves it on you because his desire is that you will die. And the only way you go free is God comes through and sets you free. Praise the Lord. Father, we come before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, for every one of us. And Lord, tonight as we lift our hands, Lord, not only for us, but for all that we touch.
Yes.
Lord, for everything that is associated with us tonight, Lord, for all that we touch. Lord, we surrender unto you and we ask you to come into our life, come into our environment, Lord, come into our manner, come into our families, our houses. And Lord, for all those that we touch, Lord, we pray, Lord, that the light of the glorious gospel would shine, and that the power of the Holy Ghost would be manifest throughout in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Yes. Lord, of all the sickness in our families, all the hurt in our families, whatever it may be.
Yes.
Lord, decisions that need to be made, Lord, for everything we touch. Lord, let us be so that the Holy Ghost dwells in us so much, Lord, that when we pray, Lord, for one another and for things, Lord, that when we touch heaven, Lord, those that touch us touch you through us, O God, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, that we are lights unto them. For, Lord, we are not the healers. We are not the deliverers. Lord, we are not the ones who bring people up. You are. Lord, anoint us so that you would flow through us, Lord, to them and do for them what you've done for us. Lord, heal those who need to be healed. Deliver those who need to be delivered. Lord, save some tonight. Lord, and fill them with the power of the Holy Ghost. Lord, let them sense your spirit as never before by the word, because and by the word of God. And we'll give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the people of God say amen.
Amen.
Praise God to everybody tonight. We will be here on Friday night. Sunday morning, I will be